my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Way Back Playback episode number 395, as this week we bring you the first hour of TNA Bound for Glory 2006. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil. I'm joined by my co-host, the other half of the Watch-Along Tag Team Champions of the World, Shane Shadows. Shane, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine, return to Michigan in 2006, and watch this show for the first and probably last time?
Yes, I believe I am.
Hey, just to be sure, you have not seen this show before?
No, I have not, and I'm trying to search for something that you told me to search for, and somehow or another it didn't pop up.
Okay, I'm gonna try it again for the folks at home, okay, because when I did it on YouTube, we're doing this whole thing on YouTube, so when I load this into YouTube, the segment we're going to be looking at pops right to the top. It just type in Kurt Angle Impact Wrestling. Four different words. And you can do that while I'm going through all of this. First of all, we had the vote, and Shane would like to personally thank all of you who voted for TNA Bound for Glory, all 38% of you. Instead of us getting to watch, you know, Steve Austin in the main event or Undertaker in the main event or Batista in the main event, we get this. And I'd also like to say, first of all, I hope everybody's enjoying WrestleMania weekend. Shane?
Absolutely. Thanks. It's the showcase of the immortals.
Yes. It's the most stupendous 2-day WrestleMania ever. In fact, it's only the third 2-day WrestleMania ever. And the other two were in front of limited audience. So I would certainly hope it's the most stupendous 2-day WrestleMania ever.
Mousers.
Yep. Okay. All right. So, are you there yet?
Okay. So Kurt Angle's epic debut.
That's the one. Okay. So everybody put a pin there for a moment. And we're going to go on with some of the other stuff we'll be talking about. Oh, and by the way, thanks to the freedom loving people of Switzerland who, once again, moved us back up in their charts this week. We're very grateful. Switzerland coming through for us like that. And we're also going to be talking more during the break about our patron over at patreon.com/waybackplayback, where we've got a special treat for everybody signing up for the Time Traveler tier. We'll talk to that. It's the treat we finished up last week with Bob Cook. Hope everybody enjoyed Bob coming in last week, too. That was nice.
A lot of fun.
It was, actually. Okay, so let's go to where we're going to be Sunday, October the 22nd, 2006. Now, 2006 may not be the most exciting time in the history of pro wrestling. For example, Shane, name one other show that happened in 2006.
Yeah. I'm on the clock here. Geez, I know there was a WrestleMania.
Yes, there was WrestleMania 22.
Yes.
Yes, very popular. John Cena versus Triple H, by the way.
Oh, okay, it was that one. Okay,
the Chicago. It was that one. Yeah, that was the Chicago one. Okay, see, you remember a match and a show for that, but okay. All right, so let's see. The previous TNA show before that was they taped Impact on Monday, October the 9th. They taped two episodes of Impact down in Orlando at their studios. The first week for October 12th, the Impact main event was an 8-man tag of AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, BG James, and Kip James, defeating Chris Harris, James Storm, Homicide, and Hernandez. Okay. And the main event on the second Impact for the October 19th one, airing 3 days before the pay-per-view, Christian Cage versus Samoa Joe in a ladder match went to a no contest. Since that did not air on YouTube, memory fails me as to how that managed to happen, but I guess that's not important now. But I feel like not that many people have actually watched this show compared to most of the other shows we do, like, for example, WrestleMania 10, right? And you know, I mean, normally we get the younger fans who haven't seen it and they like to watch along. But I think this is a great illustrative moment here. We're going to go to that clip, Kurt Angle's epic debut in Impact Wrestling. You've got it up, Shane. I've got it up. It's 5 minutes and 33 seconds. It's from Impact Wrestling, and I probably should have remembered to go through the ad first.
Okay, that's what I'm doing right now.
Okay, let's go to the ad. Okay, I'm at 0 seconds. I got the Impact Plus screen on. Okay, everybody, So I just want to make sure everybody's with me. Now, this is Kurt Angle's debut in Impact. It happened on the Thursday before the pay-per-view. Everybody's at 0 seconds. Let's all hit play together in 3, 2, 1. And now would be a good time to mention that Vince Russo is the booker.
Of course.
I will tell you that this is probably one of the better segments that Vince Russo put together in his tenure, you know, on Impact, but one of the better TV segments. Okay. All right. So Earl Hebner is standing by.
Earl.
Okay. Samoa Joe has to return the NWA World title or he will be fired. You see, this might be too much to explain. Okay. Samoa, on the September pay-per-view, Samoa Joe beat Jeff Jarrett, who was the champion, in a lumberjack strap match. But it was a non-title lumberjack strap match. After the match, Joe took the belt with him. So management ruled that Joe's got to return the belt, or otherwise he's fired. Because it'd be kind of awkward.
Firmly into the era where wrestling has to be over-explained and re-explained and triple-explained. Everything that happens on television has to be an angle.
Yes. So, but here we are. Anyway, here's Samoa Joe on his way to the ring. And what's the thing that any true wrestler or promoter would notice about Joe's attire, Shane?
Well, let me see here. He's wearing a dress shirt.
What color is that dress shirt?
It's white, which means he's going to get his head busted open.
Very good.
There's going to be blood somewhere.
Ding, 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 ding. Got it in one.
He could have tucked it in. I know that's become a popular look in recent years, the untucked shirt, but I've never liked that for a dress shirt. Okay. If it has a collar, tuck it in.
Okay.
Just funny things.
Here's the order.
Mike Tenay is a fine television personality, a very underrated commentator.
Yes.
He's always got that very serious, stern schoolmaster
type
of expression on his face.
Oh, he's not going to return the belt. Oh, no. Uh-oh. What could this be? So remember, the first time we get to see Kurt Angle in the Impact Zone is on the TV show before the pay-per-view. And I've got to say, it's a cool entrance.
It is a cool entrance, and I don't think there's anything wrong with introducing him on the pay-per-view, on the TV right before the pay-per-view. He didn't do a match.
No, he doesn't do a match here now.
Okay, so I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, because were they booked? Was he booked as a surprise opponent on the pay per view?
No, he's not.
Now, who's he supposed to be? Is he appearing on the pay per view?
He is appearing on the pay per view, and he's scheduled to appear on the pay per view.
Okay, but is he scheduled to wrestle on the pay per view?
No, he's the special guest referee for the main event.
Okay, so here's one of the things that I find flaw with, okay, is that he's not wrestling. He's making his initial debut in the building, and there's nothing wrong with him showing up on a Wednesday or a Thursday before a Sunday pay-per-view.
Right.
He should be dressed like he's ready to wrestle. He should be wearing a shirt, a tie, something.
Kind of like Joe, except with the shirt tucked in.
Exactly. He should be dressed more like Joe. I'm okay. Maybe Joe should be wearing the attire because he's active and Angle is not yet.
And he has a match on the show, yes.
Yes. Oof.
Yep.
I'm a huge fan of Kurt Angle, as you well know.
Kurt Angle, the wrestler, yes. I was very worried about him in 2006, as I think a lot of people were.
This was a questionable signing for them at that time because of the state of his personal issues and so forth.
But now, TNA directors occasionally would miss the shot. This time, they didn't miss the shot. The shot of Joe, the bloody Samoa Joe, sneaking up on Angle.
Jeff Jarrett has retrieved his belt.
Okay.
Okay, so who was Angle to be the special guest referee for?
Well, the main event, which of course is Jeff Jarrett defending the title against Sting.
So Joe has nothing to do with this.
Well, no. They, in fact, Joe and Angle, this is to set up Joe and Angle wrestling on the pay-per-view in November.
Okay. Well, I think this is, you know, that aspect of things are okay. But you've already stepped over one show to get to another.
Right. Okay. Which, I just wanted... Yeah. That's what I wanted to point out. I just wanted to,
okay.
I know what I think about it. So
what do you think about it?
That's what I thought. You're promoting you're using your go home show for your October pay-per-view to promote something that's going to happen on your November pay-per-view.
Right. There were aspects of this that were fun. The brawl was fun. The show was fun. It got a lot of heat, but I mean, you've already stepped over what you need to do this Sunday. But what should have been doing, if Angle was going to have an interaction with Samoa Joe at this point, when he's just going to be the enforcer referee, it should have been Joe against Jarrett with Angle as the enforcer referee.
Well, that would have been one way to do it, but you know, we don't have, you know, that requires something called patience, which
patience and logic, which Vince Russo was not noted for.
They're not his things now. Okay.
No.
All right. Okay. So having gotten to that, All right. Well, now I'll go over what else was going on in wrestling here in 2006, just a mere 16 years ago, 15 and a half years ago. So WWE, the Raw crew, on this Sunday, the Raw crew and the ECW crew were having a travel day because they had gone to Japan. They had a stopover in Hawaii on Saturday, and they were supposed to do Raw on Monday night in Chicago. So they are in transit. Let's see. Meanwhile, but there is a WWE show taking place on this Sunday. It is day two of the SmackDown crew in Manila in the Philippines. And for this special show, let's see. Okay, the featured bouts. I don't have attendance. The featured bouts on this show, though, U.S. champion Chris Benoit defeats William Regal. I'm sure there's nothing wrong with the quality of the match. And in the main event, a six-man tag, it is Dave Bautista, Bobby Lashley, and The Undertaker defeating SmackDown, World Heavyweight Champion Booker T, Ken Kennedy, and Fit Finlay. Again, probably a good match. There you go. Okay, so it's 2006. There's no Ring of Honor that weekend, inexplicably. Well, not inexplicably, but... That internet darling promotion, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, is taking place. That's Saturday in La Habra Heights, California. And they were known to use like Ring of Honor guys, let's just say a lot. So on that show, we have, the featured bouts. PWG Tag Team Champions Super Dragon and B-Boy defeat the ROH team of Chris Hero and Claudio Castagnoli. And in the main event, it's PWG champion Joey Ryan defeating challenger El Generico. Let's see, what else we had? Oh, yes. Also that Sunday, New Japan is in Hakata, Japan. They're doing the G1 Tag League matches. Featured bouts on that show. Yuji Nagata and Takashi Iizuka defeat Masa Chono and Shinsuke Nakamura. And on the other featured bout on the show, Hiroshi Tanahashi, Koji Kanemoto, fight to a 30-minute draw with Hiroshi Tenzan and Jushin Thunder Liger. Right? Probably all good stuff. Pro Wrestling Noah's in Kurume, I guess that's called, in front of 1,500 people on Saturday for the 21st for their autumn navigation tour. Jun Akiyama and Yoshinobu Kanemaru defeat Two Cold Scorpio and Aris. Aris, better known as the current husband, is the current brother-in-law of Steve Corino, by the way. And in the main event, Nomichi Marufuji, Takeshi Morishima, and Muhammad Yone defeat Nigel McGuinness, Doug Williams, and Murat Bosporus. I don't know who Murat Bosporus was, but he took the fall. So.
What do you mean, 1,000 masks?
Yeah. All right. Also, All Japan in 2006. They drew 800 people in Shiga to see classics like D'Lo Brown defeating Ryuji Hijikata, and my favorite, Bull Buchanan over Kikitaro. All right. And wrestling news, as ripped from the headlines of the Pro Wrestling Torch, because I don't see observers from 2006 up online. Kurt Angle's appearance on Impact, the one we just saw, the ratings for that Impact dropped from a 0.9 the week before to a 0.8 for Angle's debut. Not necessarily a good sign. But then again, this was an unadvertised debut on his, you know, so. Wrestling Society X, you might remember them. They are scheduled, they announced their first MTV tapings the week of November 11th through 16th in Los Angeles. The biggest stars of the promotion are Vampiro and Sean Waltman, although there will be ROH guys and Dragon Gate guys showing up there. And you remember how...
Thank goodness there's Dragon Gate guys came and saved the day.
Well, yeah, not exactly. if you got to see them wrestle with all the crowd shots, you were lucky. That was not my favorite promotion.
Floppy show. God, well, that was terrible.
Okay. And in an ESPN interview, Hulk Hogan has promised to appear at WrestleMania 23 in Detroit in March 2007 to honor the 20th anniversary of his match with Andre the Giant, which, by the way, Hulk's appearance did not happen. Okay.
That's right. Yeah. I remember that now. He came back the following winter.
Right.
Somehow or another, something was screwed up.
Something got crossways between them, and yeah, they didn't have Hulk Hogan in Detroit, but they did have Donald Trump, so it all worked out.
Yeah, they did pretty well, all things considered.
Yeah, they did just fine. All right, we'll be back to kick off this watch along of Bound for Glory 2006 after this timeout. Hi, and we're back. I'm Pat McNeil. He's Shane Shadows. How you doing, Shane?
I'm wonderful, Patrick. I'm looking forward to what we're about to take on here.
So we got to talk. First thing we got to talk about is the Wayback Playback Trucker hats.
Absolutely.
A mere $25, and you contact Shane to purchase one.
Yes. Anywhere in the continental United States between now and Easter, and actually, I think we'll extend that deal through. What do you say, Memorial Day weekend?
If you want to extend the deal through Memorial Day weekend, I think we can do that.
I think we can do that. We have that liberty, and I think we're just going to go ahead and exercise it. We're going to extend the deal for your weekend anywhere in the continental U.S. It ships for free, $25. The beautiful brand new logo on a complete trucker hat with the mesh backing. If your head's too big to fit in, I apologize, but otherwise it's adjustable, so you can make it fit.
Well, hopefully we don't have people whose heads are that big, but you never know. Anyway, yeah, we invite you to check that out. Also, I'd like to point out that we have a patron. It's at patreon.com/waybackplayback. And I'd like to welcome our newest member, Andrew from New York, who joined the Time Travelers tier this past week. Way to go, Andrew.
Andrew, thank you so very much.
Yes.
Appreciate the support. To me, when people pay for the extra tiers, it's telling me that they're enjoying what they're hearing on the weekly basis, and hopefully I'm contributing something strongly to those type of decisions. So thank you, and tell your friends and tell your family.
Yes, tell your friends about the show and your family. That's always welcome here. Now, something that we are going to do, and something we talked about before, if you're in the Time Traveler tier, the $4.89 a month gets you our shows, our complete archive of our shows, gets you the shows in advance and the shows without commercials, which are three very cool things. We're also going to throw in one of our bonus episodes, just your access to it as a thank you for joining us here on Patreon at patreon.com/waybackplayback. And I'm going to extend this offer through all 3 weeks of our TNA Bound for Glory watch along. The episode that we're going to give you is the one, the bonus episode we're going to give you is the one we just completed, the 2 hour and 35 minute watch along of Heroes of Wrestling, the 1999 pay-per-view that myself, Bob Cook, and Shane Shadows just finished up. And such memorable matches as George the Animal Steel against Greg Valentine, Tully Blanchard versus Stan Lane, and of course, Jimmy Snuka versus Bob Orton, and the main event as it aired on DirecTV. And you can watch along on YouTube. You don't need Peacock or the network. It's sort of the perfect storm for you, folks. If you anybody who wants to see that instead of part two of WrestleMania or in addition to part two of WrestleMania, absolutely, we would love to have you here.
I don't think there's any doubt that the effort is put in here on a week-to-week basis to put the strongest, most observant, intelligent, and entertaining effort that we have between collectively the two of us, which more is the pity. But again, people, we enjoy doing the show. We're glad you enjoy listening to the show. And we're going to bring you all kinds of stuff. We've been talking, Patrick and I, we've got all kinds of plans for this program coming up. We're only going to get bigger onward and upward with the all new Way Back Playback.
Because there's no point in doing the show without an audience. And we love our audience. And we'd like to thank you very much. And we're back. Okay, Shane, how are you? Okay, do you have Bound for Glory Part 1 queued up?
Yes.
Okay, so there is going to have to be. I've got to go through the commercial. So yeah, there is going to be a point. Since we're on YouTube, there is going to be a point where we have to sort of stop and change tapes, as it were. But I think it's going to work out okay. I'm at 0 minutes 0 seconds, and this thing is sort of letterboxed, as everything from Impact Wrestling's YouTube is, just sort of keep the keep the format looking the same. Okay, so this is Plymouth Township, Michigan here on October the 22nd, and it is estimated attendance is 3,600. Now, why did they choose Plymouth Township, Michigan and suburban Detroit for this? Because they did a bunch of house shows, and this was the town that drew the best. They did a house show on March 17th. And Christian versus Jeff Jarrett, and they sold out the minor league hockey arena there for that. It might have also helped that they had Insane Clown Posse, who are Detroit natives, wrestling a match, because they seem to attract people for some reason.
It's the damnedest thing.
I can't necessarily explain it. We don't have the pre-show match. If you watch the pre-show, you may or may not remember that the pre-show match was Lance Hoyt taking on Robert Roode. And Roode won in 4 minutes after interference from his new manager, Tracy Brooks. So there you go. Sorry to spoil it for you if you're going to go order the DVD, but there it is. Okay, I'm at 0 minutes and 0 seconds, Shane.
Okay.
Okay, and now Shane's going into this cold. So, I wouldn't have been able to remember things without going up and looking up the match order. So here we are. I can tell you this week's main event is going to be a four-way Monsters Ball match, which will be starting in about, 40 minutes from now. But we're all going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. And here we go. All right. This is the biggest TNA show of the year. And actually, I went back and looked, and this got some of the better reviews of the TNA shows in 2006. So. In terms of actual wrestling.
Sponsored by Armageddon, Mortal Kombat,
somewhere. Hi, SoCal Val. Angle's going to kill you. Tigers and Rhinos in Detroit. All right. Okay. I guess Corey and Brad are in attendance. Not there's anything wrong with that. Let's see here. So basically, they've made up this minor league hockey minor league hockey arena into a larger version of the Impact Zone.
There you go.
Yep. But that's okay.
And that's good. Make it look like something.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Yeah, you got a longer ramp, got your six sides. Detroit loves TNA. Oh, I forgot to tell you what we're starting out with. You know how they used to have like one X Division 6-8-man match or cluster match or battle royal or something on these TNA pay-per-views? It is the Kevin Nash Open Invitational X Division Battle Royal.
Jeez.
Complete with bowling trophy. It will come as a surprise to no one, Shane, that Kevin Nash is not actually in the match.
Yeah. From the guy who seemed to be the master at getting contracts and not having to work.
Well, he's going to be on commentary for this, so.
Oh, good. Yeah, because that lends itself to seriousness.
Yeah, it's going to be a gauntlet battle royal. So it's kind of like their version of the Rumble.
Wonderful.
Yes, 16 men have signed on for this. Actually, I think they're all men. I'm not sure. All right, here comes wrestler number one. Austin Starr.
Who?
Austin Starr. Because, you know, because WWE was changing wrestlers' names when they arrived, even semi-famous guys for the indies. So, yes, here he is. Former ROH Ring of Honor champion Austin Aries is Austin Starr.
Okay. Congratulations. Thank you for confusing me.
A star is born. Yeah.
He was a good talent. I enjoyed his work. He had a heck of a match a couple years ago at WrestleMania on the pre-show, but that was kind of part of why he left there, wasn't it?
It was.
I mean, somehow or another, these guys are the opinion that they... I don't know. I don't know that I would have been complaining too awful much. Who does he work? I mean, I don't think in a match at that level, you're going to get paid any less being on the between 8 and 11 than 6 and 8.
Okay. Austin Starr and Fairfax, Virginia's own Sanjay Dutt.
Sanjay Dutt. Yeah, Sanjay's a good guy.
Yes.
And I always had good experiences with him. Is he working for AEW now? Or?
I don't remember, to be honest with you, but he's working as an agent somewhere. I don't know if it's AEW or Impact though. Let me go look.
Yeah, it could be. It's one of the two, but he's not with Vince anymore.
No, he's not. Let's see. Best known as currently signed to AEW as a producer, according to Wikipedia. So there you go. He's 40 years old now. So.
Yeah. I guess that makes him ancient.
It doesn't make him ancient, but there's not a lot of call for 40-year-old cruiserweights. For some reason.
Well, except for maybe Rey Mysterio.
Well, yeah, but he's Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, completely different animal. Yeah, I get it. Step over. Right, nicely by Sanjay.
Nice. So, yeah, you get 60-second intervals before the next wrestler comes out. Yeah.
Okay, I think that's perfect timing.
Right. For a match like this, yes.
A minute's perfect. Anything longer is too long. I do. The six-sided ring, you know, I went back and forth about it through the years, you know. It definitely creates a nice, interesting visual.
Okay.
I don't think that watching, if you watch the guys so far anyway, and we'll see as the card continues, I think it's hard for guys to hit the ropes with any kind of real authority on when it's got the multi sides.
Okay. Maverick Matt, aka Matt Bentley, aka Shawn Michaels' cousin, is number three.
Yes, I remember him now. I wonder where he's at.
I have no idea. I barely know where Austin Aries is working for. He debuted at Control Your Narrative this weekend. The EC3 / Braun Strowman promotion.
The stupidest name for a wrestling promotion ever.
Okay. Well, ever. I mean,
if these guys. I'm sorry, you guys, if you're listening. I'm not trying to offend you. You know.
No.
But Control Your Narrative. What the hell does that mean? As it pertains to wrestling. Is that just a name that they're using to talk about themselves?
It might be.
Because anybody who's working for a booker in controlling their own narrative, double clothesline by Sanjay.
Unless they're booking their own stuff. And here he is, Jay Lethal.
Here's a fine talent right there.
Yep. Guy who is actually known for his Ring of Honor stuff and his Impact stuff.
So far, so good on this one.
Okay.
Good crowd.
Oh, wait. We got commercial. Oh, crap. YouTube's giving me a commercial here. Mother of God. Okay. I skip ads. I'm skipping ads. I'm back. Hold on.
Just give me a second. Maybe I'm going to drag in a second behind you.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Trying to take the head of Mike Bentley.
Career championships and a career. Let's see what we got for Matt Bentley's career.
I call him Mike. I know he's not in wrestling anymore.
Well, I don't think he is. I don't know where he is now. Okay. Well, this is going well. I know Austin Aries was doing something with, I think, MLW, and I'm not sure. But I'm not sure otherwise.
How's their lawsuit going?
not great, I imagine. Look, Austin Aries had a knack for pissing people off backstage, so. This is from Team Canada, Alistair Ralphs, who they decided to call A1 because somehow it was a better name than Alistair Ralphs.
Yeah. day one, like the steak sauce. This guy was juice. He was jacked to the gills. I remember when I did watch a little bit of the show when I found it on television. He's just a horse.
This is
a cruiserweight.
So he is a favorite. He's he's from Scott D'Amore's indie promotion. He's a favorite of Scott D'Amore. So.
And I can see why, just from the visual. But I mean, he's not a cruiserweight. I mean, he's huge.
No, he's just.
Was he doing an angle on TV that somehow?
No, but remember the storyline was always there's no weight limit in the X division, so you could.
Oh, that's right. It's about no limits. It's not about weight limits.
Oh, and who's coming up next? Is that who I think it is? Zach Gowen, yes.
Oh, shit, you're ahead of me then. No,
I'm sorry.
Know.
I'm sorry. It is Zach Gowen and Kevin Nash. Make sure to get in a line of. I actually signed the correct one-legged guy.
Yes.
Which I'll give him credit for that. Yes, he did.
And this is only a year after that, isn't it?
Yeah, 2003. Well, actually, just a few years. 2003 was when Zach was on SmackDown. But Zach was discovered from being on like the weekly Impact pay-per-views. So.
Yes, and he had a very short stint and apparently pissed some people off in McMahon world. And
yeah.
Developed some issues, which you can only imagine being a one-legged wrestler.
Yeah, that's going to be difficult, yeah.
You see, like right here, this is one of the things that, I mean, as impressive as this is, that's a moment right there that in any other incarnation of pro wrestling, as I know it, would have been a heat spot. Someone absolutely blasting a guy with one leg. Instead, it's just, you know.
All right, there goes some, okay.
Another commercial.
Well, it's sort of a break because if you're watching this stuff on Pluto TV, they do like little, they insert like little spots for the commercials in there, like little blips there where they can put the commercials.
Always thought Frankie Kazarian's work was outstanding, but this guy may be forever famous as the guy who basically got fired from Vince McMahon for not cutting his hair.
I mean, Kazarian's still he's still in AEW.
I think I've always thought he was great.
And he and Daniels had a very good tag team gimmick there for a few years.
Yes, I used to watch. Look forward to seeing them on Ring of Honor when Ring of Honor was a show worth watching.
And this is Serelda.
Who?
Serelda,
female
manager, slash wrestler. Who again? Another Scott D'Amore person.
God, that's a woman?
Yes, it's a woman.
Sorry, I'm not trying to be controversial here.
No, it's
maybe it helped drive some patron sales. Okay, that does not look like a woman.
Okay, Serelda Jamie Dauncey, a retired Canadian professional wrestler, worked elsewhere as Jamie D. Among other, let's see. Retired 20, yeah, trained under Scott D'Amore and Tyson Dukes and at their school. Okay. She was in the TNA, or first TNA Gut Check Challenge, and one on the female side. Okay, there she goes. All right.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Okay. Double clothesline. Here we go. All right, coming up next, Shark Boy. Shark Boy, nice enough guy.
I think Dean's great.
Yeah.
Great gimmick, always enjoyed it, you know.
Mm.
His name came up here not too long ago when we were talking about people to bring.
Oh, yeah.
Bring
always a winner. Like, always a winner.
Anybody, it's like, is anyone going to remember? I mean, well, you're always playing that game when you're
bringing. I know.
As you well know.
I do.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I'm gonna get through a commercial here.
Okay, well we're okay. Oh, you got Shark. Okay, so is Shark Boy in with you or not?
Oh yeah, I got it.
Okay, so we're coming to. Okay, so we're about to have another wrestler come in.
15 seconds.
Okay, you want me to pause at 15 seconds?
No, the countdown. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3.
All right. A very popular person in Detroit is coming in next.
Right now.
And it is, well, it's Detroit's own Alex Shelley.
Oh, yeah, over the Motor City Machine Guns.
That's right. I always liked the Motor City Machine Guns. And in case you didn't, hear this story, the Motor City Machine Guns were at one point scheduled to win the TNA World Tag Team titles, except that they were set to work a some sort of a gimmick, a hardcore gimmick match with the Dudleys, and they refused to play it.
There you go.
Yep.
Good for them. They controlled their narrative.
That's right. Oh, and Johnny Fairplay's favorite, D-Ray 3000.
They controlled their narrative, and somebody else controlled their paycheck and their push.
Yeah. Are you familiar with our D-Ray 3000 story?
I've heard this. No, I think I've heard it, but is that what this is? There he is, D-Ray 3000. Yeah. Go ahead. No, I've heard it, I think, but tell it anyway.
Okay, so the question of how Johnny Fairplay and Jeff Jarrett got crossways. Johnny was friends with a number of guys there, including D-Ray 3000. He started a rumor that WWE was going to pick up D-Ray 3000. They wanted him to be a Eugene-like character. So in a hurry, Jeff Jarrett and friends signed D-Ray to a new 2-year contract, only to find out that it was a BS rumor made up by Johnny Fairplay. And that's how Fairplay got himself unbooked from TNA.
But he cost the money signing some guy who nobody wanted. But yeah, I mean, what?
Johnny Devine from Team Canada. Yes.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, when they say you can't work a worker, no, it's easy. So easy is sometimes to work a worker.
Yeah, it is.
Especially when some of these guys think they're actually in competition with Vince McMahon.
Right.
Johnny Devine's. Zach. Zach Gowen's out.
It's time for Zach Gowen, yes. Yes, this was born of like weeks of Kevin Nash doing skits making fun of the X Division, basically.
Oh,
I know that shocks you.
I have no doubt. Yeah. As Battle Royals go, this isn't a bad match.
No, nothing wrong with it. Showcase, everybody gets booked, everybody gets a few spots in. Yeah. Oh, Elix Skipper. And we all know what Elix Skipper is best known for.
Yes, nothing.
Doing a Rana off the top of a cage for five on a show we got $500.
Impressive athletic feat, though.
Oh, God, yeah.
It was a very...
Scared to death for him at the time. Yeah, like, what are you doing?
Didn't he have, like, one of the early TNA action figures? Didn't they make one of him?
Yeah.
This was a guy who they really thought that, again, this is the way wrestling tends to go, is that guys start thinking that you got a major star on your hands because they can do moves. Does not work.
Elix Skipper got over at the very end of WCW. You know, he was one of the guys. He was one of the Power Plant guys. They started using him. He did cool moves.
As far as you could get over in a dying place as such as it was.
Right.
Good.
Oh, here we go. You never guess who's coming in next.
10 seconds.
Yep.
7, 6, 5. Spike Dudley.
You're getting warm.
Short sleeve Samson.
Short sleeve Samson, yes. And short sleeve's going to steal the show here. Yep.
Oh, my God. Oh, my. So I think that makes, let me see here, too. I think there's, Sleeve makes 3 people in this battle royal that I've worked cards and such with over years.
Well, there you go.
Worked with Sleeve a couple times.
All right.
And the other two being Sanjay and Sharkboy.
There you go. That's good choices. So all right. And, Short Sleeve survives, and we're going to get another entrant here.
And I'm getting a commercial.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, go through it. I'll pause it here for a few seconds. Everybody, pause. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay. Are you back?
I'm back. Okay. 8 seconds left.
All right, you're a little behind, but that's okay. We'll you'll get there.
Screaming from the third sleeve out there to him.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. I've always loved Norman
Smiley. Norman, who doesn't love Norman Smiley?
Yeah, that match he did on Nitro with Jimmy Hart, the hardcore match where Jimmy Hart's dressed up in the suit of armor, is like one of my all-time favorites.
It was a great moment.
It's just so okay. Sometimes. Comedy, I mean, certain
comedy has its place.
Yes.
As long as it's funny comedy.
Bring it on.
Okay, so short sleeve Samson is chasing referee Slick Johnson around the ring. And Slick Johnson has entered the ring, and apparently he's in the Battle Royal now, too. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay, and we're about to have our 16th and final competitor, Shane.
Short sleeve chasing who is it, Rudy Charles?
Slick Johnson, the bald guy, the bald referee is in.
Oh, okay.
And the 16th and final competitor when you get there is going to be Petey Williams. Yes. Okay. So there we go.
Come back last year or try to come back last year.
Oh, Petey. I feel sorry for Petey Williams because. I had him as a podcast guest, you know, and we're doing one of those things when you have like two lesser known guys, you know, doing the podcast together. And he was on with Billy Reel of you know, New Jersey indie fame. And Billy Reel just completely talked over like most of the show.
Jeez.
Petey's doing his Petey's like getting, you know, he's doing his retirement match and he's talking about an impact and he's talking about it. Oh well.
Billy the highlight reel.
Oh yeah,
once kind of got famous by saving some woman, I guess, in some shopping plaza from a knife wielding lunatic or something. It was something along those lines.
Billy was normally a fun guy to have on podcasts. So I feel bad for Petey though. Not as bad as I feel for anybody who was on at the same time as Big Vito, because Big Vito just completely runs over anything during a thinks highly of himself.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, so we're down. So we're getting down to the nitty gritty here. The sleeve is on his left arm to cover his Aries tattoo.
You mean the astrological sign, Aries?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yes. Oh, and now when there's down to two, now in a TNA gauntlet match, when they're down to two guys, it's pinfall or submission. Why? Okay. I have no idea.
Okay.
But that's where we are with Jay Lethal and Austin Starr.
Referee's in a bad spot. I hate that. Everybody has their pet peeves. That's
I know, and that's yours. Yeah. Mm.
Well, I have several, but that's
But this is one of the big ones.
That's my referee pet peeve.
Well, you know, one of mine is the backing up is when somebody does the reverse
neck breaker.
That don't back up into the reverse neck breaker for the love of God. If you miss it the first time, go hit the ropes or something.
Yeah, you used to actually list that on the locker room walls.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I remember. I hate that kind of. Nicely done here. And that'll do it.
All right, so we've got the finish, and Kevin Nash is going to come out with the bowling trophy.
Because the guys who just worked their ass off for 16 minutes deserve to be mocked by one of the least talented, highest paid professional wrestlers in history.
Well, I mean, if you talk to Kevin Nash, he would say that his talent was getting paid.
Yeah, working him in the panty. And you're right, he did. He's a master at it, you know. And, you know.
I'm always wondering how much he took. I've heard the stories about how much he took a former wrestler of ours who became a promoter for. So.
Yes.
Yes.
But you know, that's kind of the wrestling business.
Yeah, in a nutshell.
The old wrestling business. You know, it's, you know, I think it's probably in the neighborhood of what another, not a former wrestler, but an area promoter around here paid Roddy Piper.
Who basically,
Kevin Nash in a match, Roddy Piper stood out there and talked for 10 minutes.
Well, man.
I know it's a pretty decent five-digit number for very little work.
Oh, a video package for the multi-team tag team match. In case you're wondering what just happened there on your screen.
I still have Nash hugging Austin Aries and Alex Shelley.
Maybe I should pause it. Let's see. I'm going to pause it here.
Here's going into the thing. There's Conan and.
Yeah, Conan is the manager of the LAX, Homicide, and John Hernandez. Right.
Okay, was that Gail Kim?
Yes, that's Gail Kim. Jeremy Borash, we cut to Jeremy Borash, who's standing by with America's Most Wanted. Chris Harrison, James Storm, who I believe are heels now.
God, that's a dangerous bump for a woman.
Yeah.
That's a dangerous bump for a man. But
yep.
He's good. I can another standing by. Oh. And guess what?
No. Yes, like Jeremy Borash giving his typical bug-eyed expression.
Can't skip this ahead.
Sorry.
Be able to skip this one though. Okay.
Yes, they're very Harris and Storm are very upset about what was done to Gail Kim.
Why wouldn't they be?
I know. Well. So the heels beat up. So the heels beat up the heel women manager. Okay, whatever.
Chris Harris. Is this Chris Harris?
Chris Harris is the tall one. James Storm is one in the cowboy hat.
James Storm. This other guy, Harris, didn't he go to Vince and work on ECW for a week or two, and they fired.
Hello, I'm Braden Walker. Yes, I paused it for you at 24:09, which is a dark spot here, which is a spot where the commercial breaks inserted. So let me know when that promo wraps up. And we'll start the second match here.
23. What'd you say? 24:10,
man. 24:10 now.
20 seconds away.
Okay, that's good. Because we have a big, fatal four-way tag team match coming up. Which?
5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Hitting play at 10, 24:10. Okay, here we go. We're back. Yay. We're live in suburban Detroit. And this is Shane Douglas. He is the manager of the Naturals, sadly, after Chris Candido's death.
I was just thinking about this earlier. Chris has really been dead for the...
For 17 years, yeah.
This is, yeah.
I didn't write a column that week for him. I just put everybody's, you know, I just did a page and filled it with the remembrances of all his wrestler friends and just left it at that. All right. Okay, Shane. The late Chris Lash paid what, $3,000 for Shane Douglas to cut a promo during his show?
Did he?
The show he did at the ECW Arena that we weren't invited to, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I guess maybe he did. That was for that website, Scoops, or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and then very shortly thereafter, they weren't around anymore. Wonder what the connection was there.
Well, you, I guess you lose like five figures or whatever on an indie show. Yeah. You know? Okay.
And these five figures, it wasn't $10,000 either.
Yeah. Okay, so the Naturals, they just explained that the Naturals, Chase Stevens and Andy Douglas, Chase Stevens, are the number one contenders for the TNA Tag Team titles or the NWA World Tag Team titles or whatever. So I don't know why they're in the four-way number one contenders tag team match, but I'm sure there's an explanation.
Yeah, the booking sucks. That's the explanation.
Okay, that is the explanation.
Overthought and overwrought. Okay, well, here's two guys that are easily recognizable anyway.
The New Age Outlaws, or as they're known now, the James Gang.
Yes, Kip and...
Kip James, BG James.
Both of these two are in the throes of their personal issues at this
point. Yes, they are. By their own admission, yes. Although you got to be, I'm impressed with Billy Gunn in 2022. Not only still working, but getting his sons over on AEW.
Yeah, he is in tremendous shape, and I don't care if he's using or isn't using. You still got to put the time.
He's still in tremendous shape. Yeah.
You can't take pills and shots and just look that good. You got to put the time in and the work. That's true. He's another guy who he's deceptively big.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was the James Gang's all right, but like when they were doing that VKM,
the Voodoo Ken Mafia was stupid, yes.
Yes, that's just stupidity.
Nonsense.
Just jerking yourself off, you know, trying to be all insider.
Right. James Gang was a fine name.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, and there we go. Okay, that's two teams in. Let's meet team number three, shall we?
Yeah, I hope Vince Russo's listening so he can retort to this and say, bro.
Vince Russo, not a big fan of the dirt sheets. One of the memorable quotes over the years is they're in a book, they're doing a booking meeting for Impact and somebody in the booking meeting reads the review of the previous Impact from James Caldwell in the Pro Wrestling Torch, and Vince and Russo goes, why are we reading the review from one of the dirt sheets? And Dutch Mantel goes, because the New York Times didn't review Impact, Vince.
Now that's funny.
Yeah.
And it's funny how much the dirt sheets were great when they were kissing Vince Russo's ass, but once they figured out that he was all smoke and mirrors, they didn't want any shit on him.
Yeah.
So no, this we just saw a video package here a couple minutes ago. But
team number four, the Dudleys.
Let me go backwards here. We just saw a video package of them beating up their man, the Homicide and Hernandez.
No, they're not in the match. Homicide and Hernandez are not in the match.
And they're not in the match?
Because even though they're not the number one contenders, Homicide and Hernandez are in the tag team title match, which we're going to have in our third and final hour.
What the hell kind of sense? I mean...
I don't know, Shane.
Is this why you wanted me to do this? Because it's just a jumbled up mess?
I wanted to do I want to do something from 2000s, and Jim and I had fun doing a TNA show. I think it was Lockdown 2005. And this is one of the ones that's actually available on YouTube so that everybody can watch it without paying for it.
Oh, that's a good thing. And we probably would have been checked out. Like, what are we paying for this nonsense? Okay, yeah. Douglas is walking off. Who could blame?
Well, Douglas can't stay at ringside apparently for some reason, because now we're going to have like rules and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I like that kind of stuff when you stick with it because it makes the stories easier. But this is gonna. We just came off of a multi-person match,
and we're gonna have and still to come. Actually, the next match is our four-way Monsters Ball hardcore match.
Jesus, I can't wait. Because I'm just amazed at the fact that they took 5 minutes of television time to show something happening at an angle, and then the team that did the promo they're not even working a match with the guys that they had heat with.
Of course not. Well, but you probably figured that out at the top of the show where we had where we set up Kurt Angle and Samoa Joe, which we're not going to have a match for a month, you know.
Yeah. Oh, for God's sakes.
Bro,
people.
Let me tell you. Yeah.
They care more than you think, and at least they used to, and now they don't care as much, and it's because of idiots like Vince Russo, guys who book this nonsense like it's, you know, like it's a variety show, like it's, you know.
Yeah, that is a problem.
Come on, feed.
Here we go. We got the red hot tag here to Brian James. Okay. Double flip flop and fly. In honor of the late Dusty Rhodes. And of course we get a fake commercial break and back.
Well, that was a fun moment.
Yeah. And then they go after each other, of course, because.
And now we're going to go back to the break because, you know, no good moment can last forever, especially when you got 8 other guys standing on the apron.
Well, yeah. I mean, TNA was once described by Brian Alvarez as unlike other wrestling promotions, you know, the stipulations are put in place and then the wrestlers fight to have a good match.
Yeah, I can see that. Now the two accomplished tag teams are having some serious activity here. Mm-hmm. The team should have just came across like baby faces in the promo. Now they're back to being heels.
Okay.
People don't care about baby faces, as McMahon said, good guys at bad guys.
All right.
Yeah. And once those people quit caring about those good guys and bad guys, just quit being what drew most people to it.
For those of you who missed the history of TNA, America's Most Wanted and the Naturals feuded with each other for what felt like 100 years. But it was actually probably a year or so. Yes.
And I don't know that any of these guys are still in the business, except for I think James Storm does some indie stuff once in a while.
There we go.
It's funny how it's just guys in the previous generation just seem to last forever and could do independence and go in and out. And now it's like the last 20 years, we've just seen such a plethora of guys who were just kind of in for a cup of coffee and went away and never came back.
Well, plus you also got to remember with some of these guys, they're taking crazy bumps and doing, you know, wild moves and not learning how to protect themselves. Yeah.
That's also true. A lot of these guys hurt themselves a lot quicker.
But yeah, there's a reason why the Dudleys and the Outlaws had longevity. Yeah.
Yes, because for all their table breaking and all the heavy stuff, they also learned how to work and learned how to.
Yeah.
Everything was that they built better to the big moments.
Right. I did find a TNA house show on YouTube, by the way. Well, it was back when Hermes Sadler was doing basically TNA house shows under the UWF banner.
Yeah, our friend Billy Bane worked a couple of those.
Yes, he did. He got to work Rikishi.
Yeah. See, this is
maybe I should have tried to do that because, well, hell, it's only 90 minutes instead of 3 hours.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I went to a TNA show that I didn't enjoy live.
Me too.
Well, the one up at the York Fair when it was like there was like a monsoon hurricane weather and wind.
Yeah.
Where Frank or Samoa Joe almost killed Frankie Kazarian doing the muscle buster because the ring was.
Ouch.
Sometimes you just got to be able to do the small package. You know?
Yeah.
Roll up and let's get out of here.
Small package, 1, 2, 3, let's get out of here. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
But I think the tickets were like $20. We saw 2 or 3 matches. And I think I met Don West that night. I think he's still with us, right?
He is still with us, yes.
What a nice man he was.
Yeah, he was.
What a gentleman, and I think I spoke to Jarrett that night a little bit, and he was cool. And
I'd never met anybody with anything bad to say about Don West. So,
yeah, super guy. And I guess it was Velvet Sky, who was the future future Miss Mark LaMonica or whatever. Yeah. She was not particularly pleasant.
Well, that's unfortunate. Okay, here we go. So they kicked out of the Naturals finisher.
There's a surprise.
Oh, no. The running knee didn't work.
Spoiler yes. alert there.
Deadly death drop.
Bam.
So Team 3D defeats the number one contenders.
Yeah. So making them should have made them the new number one contenders, right?
I guess they're the double secret number one contenders. I don't know.
Yeah. Number one contender A.
Yeah. And Shane Douglas coming to check on his guys, and they're like, dude. I'm just checking in. All right, there we go. All right. They made the Naturals baby face because after Candido died, nobody was going to boo them. So.
Well, I mean.
That part made sense. Oh, and then here we go.
Yeah. Well, if you're gonna book in a box where you think the only people in the world, you know, who are paying attention, or right. you're automatically gonna assume that everyone's gonna have sympathy for. And he wasn't even with them but a couple weeks, right?
He wasn't with them that long now.
Yeah.
AEW sort of did the same thing. You know, Brody Lee died, and they kind of had to make the dark. They felt like they had to make the Dark Order. Baby faces. Oh, did I mention that Jake Roberts is a special guest referee for the hardcore match? Did I mention that?
I think you mentioned Jake was going to be here. Now he's showing up.
Yep. I mean, this in terms of talent, this is a loaded show.
Yeah, at least he looks like Jake. Yeah. Jake now doesn't look like Jake. But, I mean, also 15 years ago, too. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Jake talking about his last pay-per-view appearance. He was dragging the snake around between his legs.
Yeah. Don't miss it on the Patreon, kids. You know.
Spoiler alert, we just did this one.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do we got coming up here now?
This is the Monsters Ball hardcore match. Now, the way they explain the Monsters Ball is it's a no-rules street fight. You have to end it in the ring sort of thing. But because that's not enough, you have to throw in the stupid stipulation that for a Monsters Ball, the wrestlers are secluded for 24 hours before the match in a room with no light, no water, and no food.
Oh, for God's sakes.
After this, the later version of Monsters Ball, they just say it's a friggin' hardcore match.
This was I guess this was still when Cornette was there.
Yeah, but yeah. By the way, Cornette is at the time the authority figure for both TNA and Ring of Honor. So, although the moment TNA hired him, Ring of Honor made him a heel authority figure. Okay, so this feud started out with a feud between Abyss and Brother Runt, aka Spike Dudley.
Shit, I thought Raven was Tommy Rich there for a second.
then they drag Raven into the feud for the September pay-per-view. So for the October pay-per-view, it's a four-way match now because Samoa Joe's in. So it's Abyss versus Spike Dudley versus Raven versus Samoa Joe with Jake Roberts as referee. Okay.
All right. I'll try to follow along.
Yeah. Raven, the evil genius of Impact Wrestling.
Yeah.
By the way, I guess I can say this now. The running gag in TNA after Dixie Carter's first child was born was that she came out of the boy came out of the womb saying, "What about me? What about Raven?"
Yeah. I heard that one before. Yeah. She was... Dixie was kind of known for her affinity for some of the boys. And
Perhaps, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Abyss, Brother Runt, Raven, Abyss, Samoa Joe.
Brother Runt. Talk about a lame name.
Well, you couldn't call him Little Spike Dudley, so. Because they couldn't even call him Dudley, so they were Team 3D.
Brother, this is one of the worst names ever.
Well, you Spike Dudley, okay? Come on, we don't have to do that here, so.
Yeah.
All right, and here's Jake. With it. He's got a leather bag for the snake.
And again, we got a enforcer, we got a special referee in the main event. So why don't we?
Oh yeah, yeah we do. Why not? Yeah, but this is their equivalent of WrestleMania, so you can do whatever.
Sure, if they say so. One we've been building to.
Okay. And here he is, future WWE agent Chris Park, a.k.a. Abyss. Uh-oh. Abyss. Uh-oh. And I've got to say, though, as entertaining as Abyss was, Chris Parks playing his brother, attorney Joseph Parks, was, it was funny. It had nothing to do with, getting anybody over or making money, but it was funny.
Yeah. TV wrestling's not about that anymore.
What was I thinking? Yes.
Yeah, it's just not.
Debuted 1995, professional wrestling career. Let's see, where is it? What does it list him as?
Actually, a guy I worked with for a while when I was doing the travel and sales. We were spending some time and lived outside of Nashville. He said that he was friends with Chris Park.
Still working for WWE as of last check. So. All right, Brother Runt, aka Matt Heisen.
One of your all-time lucky bookings here.
And by the way, I had forgotten this. Abyss is in the Impact Hall of Fame.
Oh, good.
Yep.
Take away that prestigious laurel.
And Raven is. I have no idea what the hell's going on here. Raven is auditioning for the Gimp in a Quentin Tarantino movie. I have no idea. Geez.
Yeah, that's a very brilliant guy, but sometimes he's so far out there. I don't think he's intended to be understood.
Mm-hmm.
I'm certainly confused as to what this is supposed to represent.
No idea. All right.
Yeah, just his sense of humor, probably.
And since they've spent like the past 2 months putting over Samoa Joe as, as a killer and potential opponent for Kurt Angle, I'm going to go out on a limb and say Joe's the favorite here.
He also doesn't belong in the match because his presentation is so completely different.
Yeah.
He does not fit this even for a second. He's tailor-made for a guy like Angle, a more serious athletic ass kicker approach, not the sideshow.
Not this
freak.
Yeah. This is definitely the sideshow freak match of the show.
Yeah, the dog and pony show. And frankly, I think that Raven's too talented for this too, but at least he had a reputation.
Yeah, I mean,
these type of things.
All right.
Mike Dudley ought to be thankful that he got himself booked.
I'm gonna guess he was. Yeah. I don't know.
I guess he had a couple of good years that.
Yep.
Always.
Geez, he worked for WWF in like 2001, 2002. There was probably some good money there.
Oh, I would certainly think so.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm just not sure what anybody saw in this guy and said this is a guy we have to have on National Major League Television.
Well, I'm.
I'm not trying to take a dump on the guy. I mean, I guess maybe I am, but I mean, I just.
Well, they He was brought in when they had a three-way feud. It was a three-way tag team feud in WWF where everybody brought in their buddies. So Bubba Ray and D-Von brought in Spike. You know, just like the Hardys brought in Lita and Christian and Edge brought in Rhino. There you go.
Okay.
And they did the whole angle with they did the whole angle with Spike Dudley and Molly Holly, which was, you know.
Which I don't remember. Okay.
It was halfway entertaining. It went nowhere.
A lot of those low card feeds are like that, but it, you yeah. know.
All right, so Spike Dudley, the okay, here comes Spike off the ropes. Here comes Raven up. Yeah. And here comes Anubis has him. All right. I mean, as a big guy gimmick, I think Abyss worked really well.
He was okay. Yeah. I think just the problem that I'm having at this point in the show is that we've yet to have a match here that was just two guys. Everything, it's, you got four guys okay. in this one. We had eight guys in the last one. We had 12 guys, or what is it, however many 16. Guys was in the opener. 16 guys in the opener. Oh, now they're going to... Yeah.
If it makes you feel any better, Shane, our next week's show, three singles matches.
Okay. Well, finally, but I mean...
In a row? Why in a row? I couldn't tell you. Go ask Vince Russo.
Pace.
Yeah.
Separate. Do things.
All right. Did you, has the Samoa Joe spot happened yet?
No. Well, here he comes.
You're a little bit behind me. It's okay.
Commercial break.
You're a little behind me. Okay, but we're back. Or you, unless you're getting an actual commercial.
No, I'm not. It was.
All right, and Raven and Samoa Joe are going to square off here outside the ring. And now Abyss and Spike Dudley are going to square off also outside the ring. Okay. Oh, no. Okay. All right. And Jake Roberts throws up his hands and says, what the hell am I supposed to do here with all this? Which... I can't say how much blame him for.
Okay.
Oh, gosh.
And something jump.
Okay, and another horrible idea coming up here.
How was that?
Watching it live, we apparently missed Abyss. They somehow missed Abyss diving from the scaffolding onto Spike Dudley. There, but fortunately, they have a replay of it.
Jake's rolling his eyes and going, man, I spent 20 minutes working with Andre the Giant just pretending I was going to throw a snake at him and these guys would kill him. So.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
This is awesome. Clap. This is awesome. Well, it's something.
Something.
They figured out, oh, hey, let's throw Samoa Joe off the ramp again. Hey. Oh, my God.
Just keep doing the same stuff.
Okay. Okay, well, apparently Abyss is going to bring the match back to the ring and bring Brother Runt back to the ring.
Figuring out he had to win the match in the ring, right?
Yeah. Clever, I know. Well, so, but none of that explains why Jake Roberts left the ring. Okay, since the match has to end in the ring.
Well, fair enough, but...
I mean, yeah. I mean, he could have been sitting in the ring eating a Snickers for all that mattered.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, and here comes Raven, so. All right.
Get into the post.
All right.
It's getting late. I want this match to end.
Oh, there we go. Oh! And Biss, gonna hit him with a 10 on the Richter scale.
But he's but, hitting those ropes hard. Oh, there
we go. I gotta admire the my friend, my old friend, the Sinister Minister James Mitchell for putting in work for a match where he really doesn't have a lot to do.
Yeah, I always thought he was an underrated talent.
Yeah, pro.
Because he looked the part. He was weird looking and had like. He took advantage of that, curled the eyebrows and, all that type of stuff. I mean, it's living the gimmick.
Okay. And Samoa Joe is back in the ring and business is picking up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Juking and jiving. Oh, Raven dumped to the floor.
Okay, now Biss is going to pick up a chair. Oh. Yep. Hold on. Abyss wants the choke slam. Joe doesn't want to let him have a choke slam. Okay. Okay, there we go.
That changed your mind about the rest of the evening. Oh. Double jumps.
All right. Okay. And Braven's in to make the save. Oh, thank goodness. Because the match could have ended otherwise,
Powers him right on the chair.
Yep.
Now, back of his legs might have grazed the chair, but of course that doesn't sound quite as dramatic in the commentary.
No, it doesn't. It's a good power slam.
Oh, yeah, well done.
All right, and now, is everybody going to go out to the floor? No, not yet. Abyss is blown up. Oh, and he calls for James Mitchell, and yes, James Mitchell has the bag. Oh, no. Not the bag. Not that.
Anything but that.
Oh, well. And, yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's tax season here in Ground Wayback Playback.
Oh, absolutely. Everyone's favorite.
Oh, wait, but Jake Roberts gets out the snake to prevent Abyss from getting out the tax. Okay. Interesting. Oh no. And now Raven goes after Jake, but Abyss makes the save. Oh my goodness. Okay.
So why are we stopping him from dumping the tax when everything goes in the match? Now Raven's putting it on Jake.
Jake doesn't want to have to make a count and a bit of thumbtacks, basically. That's my story and I'm sticking to it. All right, and there's some thumbtacks. I mean, I was hoping he had like a rattlesnake in there, but obviously not. So,
I've never understood the whole thumbtack thing.
Well, I mean, it would, if the guy who broke out the thumbtacks wasn't usually the one who ended up in the thumbtacks, maybe it would make more sense.
Yes. You would have thought that anybody who had any logic would go, I brought these thumbtacks, but I better put them away because
I keep getting.
Tells me,
my goodness! Oh, and in a shocking development, guess who's going to take the thumbtacks? Yes, what a bad idea that was, folks. Is it going to be the last bit? And now Raven. Takes a really long time to make the save here. Chair shot.
Got like 12 tacks in his mask. It took 7,000 of them laying on the mat.
All right. Jake decides.
Almost like working with children or animals here. It's like
you
don't know how that's going to turn out when you're bringing other things into play other than just physicality.
Okay, and that's what you get for hitting Jake early in the match. And now Samoa Joe. finishes off Raven without dropping him on the thumbtacks. Oh my goodness.
Bustle Buster.
Yep. Okay, thank you, Raven. All right. And Samoa Joe remains undefeated in TNA.
Referee Fred Platt finishes the, gives Samoa Joe the win.
Yeah.
I was hoping to get a pop out of that. Have you ever heard that? Like Jake started out as a referee in Oklahoma and Texas and hit under the name Fred Platt.
No, I hadn't heard that. Well, his dad probably, you know.
Yeah, they didn't want him to meet Jake Smith.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
Okay. Joe's going to kill a sandwich. All right. Very good.
There you go. I love people when they're signs. Yeah, you love them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and guess what? It turns out Jake really did bring a snake. Hey.
Where did Runt go? We haven't seen him for the last 10 minutes of the match.
Let's see. Well, he left. He's out getting a drink. Hurt. He went out to get a couple of beers. He'll be back. All right, and Raven's going to take the snake, folks. He takes the snake. Okay, I think this is probably going to be a good place to call it here at 57 minutes, 23 seconds before we go to the Eric Young interview.
It's the most successful independent wrestling promotion of this generation. It's the place where the stars of today made their name. Now get the inside story of Ring of Honor from those that lived it with an honorable mention. Join Ring of Honor alumni Shane Hagedorn and his co-host Jeff Schwartz as they break down a classic Ring of Honor event every Tuesday and get the behind-the-scenes scoop and inside stories that you won't hear anywhere else. An honorable mention, available every Tuesday on your favorite podcast platforms. For exclusive bonus content, plus early ad-free access to every show, check out patreon.com/anhonorablepod.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com. And yes, when we rejoin you next week, it is the big Eric Young versus Larry Zbysko loser gets fired match. So,
how long did Larry stall before it began? Well, I guess we'll find out next week.
Yeah, come on, let's not do any spoilers next week. Also, the X Division title on the line as Senshi or Loki or whatever you want to call him defends against Chris Sabin, and also, yes, the big moment, the 8 Mile street fight as hometown hero Rhino takes on his rival Christian Cage. All right, all that on next week's Wayback Playback, Shane.
All right, same Wayback time, same playback channel.
That's true. Well, that's true, and you'll probably get a chance to say that again in a minute. Of course, as you know, we're on Twitter. I am at Real Pat McNeil. Shane is one only Shane Shad one.
Yep.
Okay.
One only Shane.
And Jim is at Jim Valley. And, of course, we would like you to leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review for us on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or really wherever your pods are cast. That's going to do nicely. And, okay, and in a minute, Shane's going to say join us next week, same Wayback time, same playback channel. And if you'd like to know more about Austin Aries, Alex Shelley, Chris Harris, James Storm, or Kevin Nash even, go visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, or The Wrestling Observer. Or go download the app for your local library because it turns out they're all in books. Shane.
Same Wayback time, same playback channel.
Yes, next week you'll be recovered from WrestleMania and you'll be ready for even more stuff, including the 8 Mile street fight, Rhino and Christian Cage, who amazingly are still in the business in 2022, and Larry Zbysko and Eric Young and Loki and Chris Sabin. That's going to be worth the price of admission. And start thinking about what you want, folks, for our next set of episodes and the dreaded episode 400, which is just around the corner. But as always, thank you, Shane. And check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback. And until we meet again, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery, next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.